across from me, we got downtown Buffalo, New York. Some people say the armpit of America. I don't like that term. You know what I like? The beautiful Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo. 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 Buffalo.
Hello, Buffalo. Everyone, and welcome back
Buffalo.
To a very special, or not welcome back, this is the first time. This is the first time you're listening to this episode, obviously, because it's the first time this episode's out. Oh, this is going to be a good one. Welcome back. No, not welcome back. Jesus Christ. Welcome to a very special episode of the Cosmology Variety Hour. This is going to be a crowded one, too. Brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group's Bills Wire. As I was telling these people, these wonderful people here with me today, before we started recording, I had an intro plan for this. It was going to be, we have five guys, but we ain't talking about burgers. But we don't have five guys anymore because Cast said, nah, you can't have five people. You can only have four people. It's utterly ridiculous and stupid. Granted, I kind of clown this system all the time because I've been recording on this podcast, or I've been recording on this system for a year since I started doing this podcast, and not once have I given this, like, website or whatever a dime. I just keep making free accounts. Hey, they're getting clowned on. I'm doing this for free. Haha. So joining me, I didn't even say what we're doing yet. We are doing our 2020 mock drafts, our Buffalo Bills final Bills Wire staff mock drafts, and I'm joined here by not five people, by three additional people who will go over their mock drafts. It's gonna be wonderful. It's gonna be long. It's gonna be in depth. Those words could be used to describe a lot of things. So joining me today to go over our final Bills Wire Buffalo Bills 2020 mock drafts. First, it's Justin DeLauro. D-Lo, how are you, my guy?
I'm doing fabulous, Kyle. I am excited to be here to share my mock draft.
Wonderful. It's going to be maybe a good one. I know you don't like your mock, but I mean, knowing all of our luck, that will mean it will be the most accurate mock draft then. Also here, it's McKenna Middlebrook. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I've been watching Chernobyl on HBO recently, so I feel very smart.
Why?
Why do I feel smart, or why am I watching Chernobyl?
Either.
Chernobyl, I got good buzz, and then the show is just very intense and very just like accurate to what happened, so I just feel like I'm smarter than everyone now.
Also here, it's making his very highly awaited and highly anticipated return to the Kyle Selege Variety Hour after like a 10 or 9 month hiatus. He's been on one episode. It's Bills Wire managing editor Nick Wotan. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Bar none, the worst intro to a podcast I've ever heard.
Oh.
I kind of wish I would have told Matt to stick around. Yeah. So Matt Johnson was going to join us, Bills Wire podcast host, and he does other things. He was going to join us, but then, as I said, Cast told us we cannot have four people in here, or five people in total, including myself. So it's ridiculous. I've already talked trash about this system, so I'm not going to talk trash about it anymore, but I will talk trash about Nick Wotan. So we do that every week anyway. So Nick, how are you doing? How's life been, my guy?
Surviving. Hope everyone's safe out there. We're safe here. I don't know. I write on Bills Wire and walk my dog is pretty much, you know, the top two things in my life right now.
Very nice. So, also at the top of your life, and to the top of all of our lives, obviously, is the 2020 NFL Draft. We've all been dreaming about it. We've all been very much focused on the draft. We all very much care who the Bills are going to select. So today, I don't know when the article is even going to go out, but between the recording and when this podcast is ultimately published, I'm sure Bills Wire will put out their final staff mock drafts in which we all propose, or not portray, in which we all list our final mock drafts, and then we will explain in great detail how we came to those assumptions. So what we're going to be doing today is talking about our mock drafts, explaining in even more detail how we came to those final predictions, and then we'll debate who has the best mock draft, and we already know the answer. It's obviously me. So maybe we won't even debate because we know the answer. That'd be a waste of time. So we'll get started with McKenna. I'm feeling crazy. We're going to start with McKenna. So before I start with you, I'm just going to explain to everyone, even the audience, how this is going to work. We're all going to go through and talk in detail about our first selections, and then we'll all go through and do that, and then we'll go back to McKenna, and then the rotation will start again where we just run down the rest of our selections in a quicker manner. So we're not here all day, even though we have nothing better to do. So McKenna, explain who you have the Bills taking in your final mock draft at pick number 54.
So I have the Buffalo Bills selecting cornerback Damon Arnett from Ohio State. We have talked about Damon Arnett a lot on the podcast, but I've wilded out a couple times in my mock drafts. I've gone Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think I've gone LaVisca Chenault a couple times. Maybe even Chase Claypool when I was getting really crazy. But, you know, I think Damon Arnett is probably the most realistic pick and the most probably productive would be the most productive pick because he would slot in right away because I think he's better than Levi Wallace. I think he's better than Josh Norman right now, and he'd be the perfect sort of piece to play alongside Tre'Davious White. So why do I say that? He had a very productive career at Ohio State, more productive than his teammate Jeff Okuda, and he's I'm just going off stats. He was more productive than Jeff Okuda. Okay. Stats alone. You know, I think Jeff Okuda is going to be a top, you know, five talent, which he is, but, you know, just numbers alone. And he's very comfortable in playing in his own defense. He's very athletic. He's not afraid to make a tackle, which is all things you need to play in a Sean McDermott defense. So that's who I think the Bills will select, and I think it's probably a more realistic selection. So, yeah, that's my guy, and I'm sticking to it.
Anyone have any passionate thoughts on Damon Arnett?
Wrong.
I like Arnett. I mean, I'll throw it in there. I'll go in McKenna's corner. Last couple mocks, I've had Arnett up there. So I think if Arnett were selected by the Bills, it would be a good choice because in 2021, he would be the starting cornerback opposite Trey White.
Yeah, I see that. But look, given this, anyone who they pick, really, is going to be a pick for 2021, I guess, because I think for the most part, their roster, their depth chart is kind of set. I don't think you're going to get an improvement over Jerry Hughes in round two. I don't think you're going to get an improvement over Cole Beasley or John Brown in round two. I don't think you're going to get an improvement over Levi Wallace or Josh Norman or EJ Gaines in round two. I think whoever they take in the second round, at whatever position, it's more so going to be, okay, we'll play him rotationally, if at all, in his rookie year, and then eventually he will take over as the starter. But I don't know if corner is in play in the second round, even though Arnett's talented, even though Trevon Diggs could be there, and I know we just did a big board where we put Trevon Diggs and Damon Arnett in the top four, but as the draft kind of grows closer here, I'm finding it harder and harder to buy the idea that the Bills could be interested in taking a cornerback in the second round just because that depth chart is so stacked. It is so stacked at the second cornerback position with Levi Wallace, Josh Norman, and EJ Gaines. That's a three-man competition right there for the secondary starting cornerback position opposite Trey White. And then in the nickel, Taron Johnson, EJ Gaines could even push him there. Just the non-Tre'Davious White cornerback, outside of that, the competitions are wide open. So, again, you could say that would lead to them bringing in a cornerback in the second round, but I don't think, given the bodies they have there, I don't think adding another body in round two, when they could add players who could be more productive and more useful in their rookie year, I don't think they're going to add a cornerback in round two. Round three, maybe. Round four, maybe. But I don't see, even though Damon Arnett's talented, I don't really think cornerback is in play in round two, just given the fact that they already have a three-man competition in round or for that secondary cornerback spot. I think next year, round one or round two corner, assuming Wallace doesn't take a step forward or assuming nobody establishes a firm grasp on that firm grasp, that's a word, grasp, there we go, on that job. I think that would be in play in the earlier rounds next year in the 2021 draft, but this year I really don't think corner is that big of a need that you would take it with your first pick. So, Nick, tell me why I'm wrong or right. Yes. It only took 2 years.
I mean, you think back to, of course, Vontae Davis, ex-Bills great, and that whole situation. Oh, and even before then, they've just gotten burned there. But even if you're, you know, going to count Trey White, Levi Wallace, and then either Josh Norman or EJ Gaines, because between consistency and injuries, you know, that's a lot of question marks between those two. But still, you even got a you know, ridiculous amount of depth there already. Your number four is traditionally just a guy, and if your number four is Levi Wallace, who was your starter a year ago, I mean, that's a lot of depth. But, I mean, to McKenna's point, that is a talented player there, and the Bills, and they've needed to take a player on offense the last couple years with their first pick, and they just refuse to do so and always pick a defender, so.
You know, I know the team, like, Sean McDermott loves his, and Brandon Bean, they love their process guy, the culture guy, and I think Damon Arnette is one of the is a guy like that. And, you know, EJ Gaines is probably going to get injured. I, like, just off, you know, what history tells us, and Josh Norman I have defended before, but since I think Damon Arnette is the guy, Josh Norman is absolute garbage. Just because I'm defending my boy, so I just have to
say this on every podcast. These players could kick our asses. I'm not overly comfortable calling them trash. D'Lo, you getting a phone call?
I'm getting a phone call.
Is that Bean? Are we making a trade? Are we moving up?
Blowing up.
Landline? Landline? Are you serious?
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I think Damon Arnette could instantly become the starter. Well, not the starter. Starter opposite Trey White because of his talent. Levi Wallace is inconsistent. He's just nothing really special alongside that. EJ Gaines could get injured, most likely get injured. And then Josh Norman is just, you know, no good.
Right, I see that logic, but with your first pick in the draft, when you can make a luxury pick, and granted, this would kind of be the definition of a luxury pick, right? But, like, when you have pick 54, which isn't a great pick, it's not a good spot to be making your first pick, but you can get a talented player at 54. I don't think making a three-man competition, a four-man competition with your first pick in the draft, I don't think that's necessarily an incredibly intelligent move. And again, long term, Arnette would probably be the starting cornerback. He would probably take over, and it would be Trey White, Damon Arnette. Those are your two starting cornerbacks. But also, I don't think that's a pick you have to make this year. I think that's my basis on this, or my ultimate opinion is, yes, Arnett's talented, but just given what they have at cornerback right now, I don't think cornerback is a position you have to take with your first pick in the draft this year. So does that wrap up our Damon Arnette talk 13 minutes deep? I think, again, it'd be a good pick. It's certainly not a bad mock draft pick, but
Arnett's going to pull a Singletary.
In what way?
He's going to knock off the veterans who are the starters. Just how Singletary knocked off Frank Gore for snaps. Boom. Josh Norman's out of the way. EJ Gaines might not even make the 53-man roster.
One of them's not.
There's
Wallace
your bold
is
take.
Making it, and then either Gaines or Norman are getting cut. I really, unless Gaines kind of supplants Saran Neal as the backup nickel, right? I don't think both of them are making the roster. And honestly, I think EJ Gaines, for the most part, has always been good in Buffalo. He's just always been injured.
Yeah, he's always injured.
That's the issue. He's never been bad here. It's just, you know, the best ability is availability. That whole,
GM speak.
I like it.
But I don't know about Damon Arnette. Again, he's a talented player. I just don't know if he's, it'd be a luxury pick. And I keep saying they can make a luxury pick. I just don't know if I want that.
You just don't like that luxury pick.
You want your luxury pick.
Yeah, I want my luxury pick. That'd be a good transition to my mock draft, but I'm not going to take it. Instead, I'm transitioning to Nick's mock draft. Nick, who do you have them taking at 54?
Oh, wow. I didn't think you were going to go to me next, but
I'm a good guy, you know?
Well, easy there. so I think, you know, luxury pick is the best way to describe it. And I'm going to go with Curtis Weaver from Boise State, the edge defender. I think really the only big knock on him is pretty much his competition faced in college. Maybe his burst, too. Other than that, I mean, everything you read on him, he can get to the passer. He can set the edge in the run game. And on top of that, as we mentioned before, the depth really everywhere on this this Bills roster right now is pretty good. He's not going to surpass Jerry Hughes or anyone at the top of the depth chart right away. But I think the most pressing position of need looking forward to 2021, I mean, Jerry Hughes, Addison, they're both up there in age. Trent Murphy's in his final year of his contract, and he's left a lot to be desired. But in the short term, in 2020, Weaver can really step in, get in that rotation, get some snaps as a rookie, but also not have a lot of pressure on him to perform right away. So that's the guy who I think the Bills should go with. And also, if they draft him, I can put this this video from Twitter of him sacking Josh Allen from like 3 years ago. So that would be pretty big for me as well.
I was going to say, you say that he didn't face good competition in college, but he faced Josh Allen, who's the best competition. We all know this. Josh Allen played in the best conference. Mountain West is a power – it's the Power 1 conference. Forget Power 5.
He was the Mountain West Defensive Player of the year last year. I meant to say that, so I sounded smarter, but pretend I said it at first.
I'll edit it. but – like I completely forgot what I was gonna say. So he wasn't an All Mountain West honorable mention. He was actually on the team, maybe.
I think so. Whatever it was, someone Google it.
Josh Allen was All Mountain West honorable mention. That's where I come out of that, or that's what I'm getting at. I can't talk, and this is a huge issue that I constantly face as a podcast host, is the inability to talk, which is kind of something that you need when you talk, but. You know, not having that ability kind of sucks. So, yeah, I like Curtis Weaver a lot. We've talked about him on this podcast a bunch. And, Nick, I know you listen each and every week, so you know that we talk about Curtis Weaver a bunch. But Curtis Weaver, I think he's kind of an underrated player in this draft. I could even see him going tail end of the first round. I wouldn't be completely surprised if he went then, just because I do think he is a high upside player. And as we said with luxury picks, right, the Bills have – this would be a good luxury pick. Damon Arnett would be a luxury pick, but I don't know if it would be a good one. Curtis Weaver would be a good luxury pick because you can come in, learn from Jerry Hughes, learn from Mario Addison, two good pass rushers. You can kind of mold him as he develops along in his rookie year before taking over for either Hughes or Addison, you know, giving him a larger role in the future. And I do think this is a player who will develop into a maybe not double-digit sack guy consistently, but like an 8 or 9 sack guy. I could see Curtis Weaver doing that. I think he's a prototypical 4-3 D end. I think it'd be a good pick. So, D'Lo, I know you have them going with the defensive end as well. In your mock draft, how do you feel about Weaver?
I like Weaver. I think there's a lot of upside to him. I think all of the reasons Nick listed are appropriate and accurate.
Yes!
Damn it, I knew it was going to happen. looking at the defensive end spot, I mean, that's the position with the greatest need of it. Let's rewind that. They're the oldest.
Yes.
We got two starting ends that are above 30 years old. They're old boys outside of Daryl Johnson, and Trent Murphy's moving into his last year with the team, and I can't imagine they're going to re-sign him. So it's going to make sense that a defensive end, an edge rusher, somebody who can get after the quarterback is going to be something that the Bills will look at highly in the second round.
McKenna, thoughts on Curtis Weaver?
I think it's a good pick, but if you're going defensive end in the second round, I think the Bills would probably go after Julian Aquara.
Yes!
You transitioning for me here? You coming for my throat?
And I don't think they need to go defensive end second round because it's pretty deep. I think it's underrated how deep this defensive end class really is, because we've all had the Bills going defensive end in third and fourth round on all players who could actually make an impact in their first season. So, I mean, it's a good choice, but I think if they're going in the second round, they're going to go Aquara, or even not even go defensive end until the third round or the fourth round, with getting guys like Alton Robinson, Bradley and I.
I am mostly shocked that McKenna didn't have a Notre Dame player as his second round pick.
That is true.
You know, don't even write. You know, it's going to happen.
It wasn't Cole Kmet, wasn't Julian Aquara.
Troy Pride Jr. Yeah.
As you transitioned there for me, I appreciate that, McKenna. We're gonna go to D'Lo now. D'Lo, McKenna already revealed your second, your first pick in the mock draft. But who do you have?
I did take Julian Okwara. It's kind of a more conservative pick. I was really trying to decide between wide receiver and defensive end, and ultimately, I just feel like the Bills are gonna go on the defensive route. So Okwara, I think, just has a little better burst off the end than Weaver. I mean, both of them are kind of comparable players. They both have, you know, a pretty straightforward pass rush moves. They need to develop some secondary moves, which is why moving into this roster would be perfect, because they would probably be playing about 30 to 40% of the snaps. And then over time, they would ultimately take on a larger role. You know, especially when Murphy leaves, you'd have a player like Okwara who could kind of move from the left end or right end spot, depending on where he's needed. I just like his speed a little better. One of the things is that he does have a little bit of an injury history, but I think his ability to get in the backfield, even when he doesn't get to the quarterback, like one third of his tackles are tackles for loss anyway. So he's able to get in the backfield, able to attack, and is pretty good defender against the rush.
I vibe with the pick, but my big hiccup here, I don't know who the better player is between Okwara and Weaver, but the more realistic pick, I think I would give the edge to Weaver. It's just because looking at this regime, I could be wrong. I don't have all of their picks in front of me. I don't have list.
You could be
wrong. Thanks. I don't know, like, all of the picks they've ever made, but I feel like they kind of have a small school focus or a mid-major focus. I feel like they don't frequently take players from these big schools, these, like, huge, very renowned football schools. I'm trying to look back at their picks. I mean, LSU with Trey White.
Talented talented schools?
Did I say talented schools? I don't know what but, like, these, you know, these Power Five, or in the case of Notre Dame, independent, but these schools that are on national television every week, these schools that you typically associate college football dominance with, I don't think this regime really takes a lot of players from those
the
schools.
The underdogs.
They take the underdogs. I mean, Wyoming with Josh Allen. Virginia Tech is a decently sized school.
Virginia North Tech Park is known for defense, though. For, like, creating stout defensive players.
North Carolina A&M.
Yeah, North Carolina A&T.
Oh, A&T, sorry.
Agriculture and technology.
Sorry, I messed that one up. I had mechanical instead of it. What about Jacksonville State?
Jacksonville State. East Carolina.
East Carolina worked out well.
Temple. Just these not huge school, not small schools, but not huge schools. Well, North Carolina.
But they also have Cody Ford from Oklahoma. Massive school.
What about Pittsburgh?
Oh, that's a debate.
But
Tennessee,
like,
to Pittsburgh.
Taron Johnson, where did he go? Weber State, right? Like, I feel like they traditionally take players from smaller schools. They think that they can kind of mold that into a player who can be productive in the NFL. And thus, Boise State is smaller than Notre Dame. It just is. So I'd give the edge for Weaver just because I think I like Weaver better in general. And I think kind of he's more in this regime's wheelhouse than Notre Dame is, or than
Okwara.
What's his name? Okwara. Then Okwara is. This is one of the best podcasts we've ever done.
Hey, does Colorado fit that too?
Dude, y'all are coming for my neck today. Y'all are coming for my job. I don't know if I appreciate it or don't appreciate it. But Colorado does fit that mold, and that's why I have the Bills. I'm sticking to my guns, right? I've been saying for months that the Bills should draft Laviska Shenault. I don't know if he's going to be there when the Bills go on the clock at 54, but if he is, Brandon Bean, I know he's not supposed to leave the house, but he should run to Roger Goodell's basement, wherever he's set up for this draft, and make the pick himself. Laviska Shenault is just an insane athlete. Again, I've been saying it for months. I thought at one point that when the Bills needed a number one receiver, even before they traded for Stephon Diggs, I was saying Laviska Shenault could be that guy. Now, when he'd be coming in and being that, he'd be that number four receiver. Look, that would be such a position to succeed for him, just because given his versatility, he can spell anyone. He can spell John Brown on the outside. He can spell Cole Beasley in the slot. He could spell Josh Allen on red zone packages as a wildcat quarterback. He could spell Devin Singletary even as a running back. You can put him in any position, and given the depth that you have, just offensive skill positions, right, with your starting trio of Diggs, Beasley, and Brown with Singletary, you really don't need to add a starter at any offensive position. So with Shenault, you can kind of put him in just positions to succeed initially. You can design plays for him. You can have him in positions where you think you're going to get the most out of his skill set. You're not going to be asking him to do too much because you have players who can do more. You have proven players who can already do more, who have proven they can play, proven they can start. So with Chenault initially, you can just put him in places where you think you'd get the most out of his skill set, and then moving forward, 2021, 2022, you can have him take on a bigger role in the offense. I just think he's an incredible athlete. I think he's an incredible player. I think his lower body strength might be unmatched by any other receiver in this class. I think I've compared him in the past to Devin Singletary with the ball in his hands. He's just kind of a patient runner, a shifty runner. Kind of Devin Singletary, but bigger and a wide receiver. I think that Laviska Shenault is just an insane player. I don't know if he's going to be there at 54, as I wrote in my mock draft. He's kind of, in the lead up to the draft a few months ago, it was a question if he would even be there for the Bills at 22, and then injury things came out. He had to get core surgery, I believe. There's been questions about his injury, and thus he kind of fell to like mid to late second round, but now we're at the point where it's kind of leveling out, and he's looked at as a late day one, early day two pick. So I don't know if he's going to be there at 54, but I think if he is there at 54, that would be such a steal for Buffalo, just given the rotation and the value you can get out of him initially, and then moving forward, the role that he could play in this offense. So that's my take on Laviska Shenault. Someone tell me why I'm right, please. Anyone take it.
I think your analysis is correct. I think he can do all of that and more, but I don't know if he'll be there at...
Yeah, that's the issue.
That's the thing.
That's the whole
thing. Yeah, that's my biggest thing, too, is I really don't think he's going to be there. To your point, you know, he could have been a pick at 22 for the Bills. Injury, I don't see him falling past early in the second round. I think I wouldn't be shocked if he's that guy that some team trades up for early in the second round. You know, that works out all the time, like with Zay Jones when you trade up.
Yeah, that worked out.
So, but yeah, I think that he would be that guy that a team will trade up for in the second round. But hey, if he's there at pick 54, I would run to the podium with it.
I hope that team is the Bills. I hope if he's there at like 44 or 45, Brandon Bean's blowing up cell phones or blowing up Zoom calls. I just hope that Shenault is an incredible player. As I've said 10 times now, even on this particular podcast, not just in the past, he would be that player that would round out that receiving core, because there is a considerable drop off, in my opinion, from Beasley to McKenzie to Foster to Duke Williams. There's a considerable drop off. They need a player who kind of fills that gap, that makes that drop off less steep, and Shenault is that. And then eventually he can develop into that starting guy to replace John Brown or Beasley. And then you got Diggs and Shenault with Josh Allen for a decade, hopefully. That would be insane. So even if they have to trade up to go and get him at the beginning of day two, go for it. Go for it. Shenault's worth it. So if we had to rank these potential second round picks, the first picks that the Bills make in the draft, based on our mock drafts, who I like the most, I would go with Shenault number one. I think my analysis was the best. I think my pick was the best. Then I'd go Weaver, Okwara, Arnett. So wow. D'Lo.
Disrespect.
I mean, I would go Arnett. I still like the cornerback idea. Weaver and Okwara are interchangeable, and Shenault would be four.
You're fired. You're out of here, my guy. McKenna, rank.
I'm going to go Okwara, Arnett, Weaver, Shenault.
You guys are... Wow.
Your analysis is correct. I just don't think he'll be there.
If he is there, though.
I mean, if he is there, then he'd be number one, I guess. Then I would go... I go Shenault, Okwara, Arnett, Weaver.
Nick, rank them, please.
If I'm ranking based on all these players are on the board, I would go Shenault as the top guy, Weaver, Okwara, and then, you know, your cornerback is just outrageous.
I feel disrespected.
I respect that analysis.
But I would actually probably flip, if realistically, I might just put my 3 and 4 is my 1 and 2, say, and put Okwara number one, just because I think he's the most, you know, realistic. I think that those two guys are more realistically going to be there. I could see Weaver going late first round, just a team picking him just to be the same concept he would be for the Bills, and the same thing with Shenault. But you know, that's my take. But I mean, overall, mine's the best, so that's obvious.
Well, I disagree. Are you down to have a deathmatch IRL? You want to meet at Jim's? We'll meet outside Jim's on Allen. So we'll move forward now. We're gonna look past this deathmatch talk, though that could get good ratings on pay-per-view. I do think if Bills Wire ever tries to get into the pay-per-view game, that's the first fight we're selling. So moving on, McKenna. We started with you with your first pick, so now we'll go to you for your second through whatever picks. Who do you have the Bills taking in rounds 3 through 7?
Okay, so you talked about rounding out the receiver core, and obviously no one is surprised that I'm about to say this player, Chase Claypool, wide receiver out of Notre Dame. He is the perfect complement to this entire receiving core, as I've talked about so many times before. He's 6'4", he's big, he's actually deceivingly fast. He ran a 4.4 at the combine. So he is just an absolute beast of an athlete. I think he gives the Bills an obvious red zone threat. He's perfect down there. Like, if Josh Allen just needs to chuck a ball up and win a 50-50 ball down the field, Chase Claypool is your man. All right, got him out of the way. That's in the third round. Fourth round, I have Zach Moss out of Utah. We've talked about Zach Moss before. He's your Devin Singletary compliment. He's a violent, physical runner. You know, he'll run through you, not around you. I think that's – and then in the fifth round, I have the Bills selecting safety J.R. Reed.
Junior Reed?
No, J.R. Reed.
Oh, okay.
That was hilarious. You're hilarious.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I just got that. Oh, God. I'm a dummy. But anyway – so J.R. Reed, he's 6'1", so it gives him good size to cover tight ends and bigger wideouts. And at Georgia, he played at the line of scrimmage a lot, you know, helping stop the run and blitzing the quarterback. So, you know, things that both Mike Hyde and Jordan Poyer do. So I think he's just a guy who obviously won't come in and start right away. He would be their backups, and then eventually he could be, become one of the starters. And then rounding out 6 and 7, I have Jacob Phillips, linebacker out of LSU. He's big, he's physical, but he's not the smartest sort of player. He doesn't read the game that well. Oh my
God. Again, these players could kick your ass.
That dude is 6'4". He's like 6'4", 235 pounds, so he would murder me. But like, in terms of football IQ and reading the game, that is his biggest weakness, so... it'd be a stretch for him to make the team, but he's a great athlete and he's very physical. Second to last pick here is John Hightower, wide receiver out of Boise State. He's fast. He'd be a good gadget guy. He could, you know, spell John Brown because they have comparable speed. And then my final pick.
Oh, I remember who you put. I like this one a lot.
Kicker Rodrigo Blankenship out of Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I think that's a great pick.
It falls under the Austin Prohl category.
if the Bills draft Blankenship, that means Stephen Hauschka is out of here. But, you know, I just think last pick, you know, a player probably won't make the team. But if you draft a kicker, you're telling Hauschka that he's out of here. And, you know.
Or you're at least telling him that he's in for a fight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We spent a draft pick on a kicker.
I just, while and I was like, I could take, you know, a lineman or, you know, a defensive tackle who probably won't make the team. But, you know, if you drafted a kicker, a fairly accurate kicker as well, just not like some random guy. He's probably the number
one. You know, Stevie Johnson was a 7th-round pick.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Stevie Johnson was a 7th-round pick.
Oh, I thought you said Daryl Johnson was a 7th-round pick. I thought you were...
Oh, no, we don't care about that one.
So, yeah, those are my picks.
I just wanted to know what I did to you guys. You know, I like to think I'm a pretty decent guy, but y'all are kind of just trashing me today on my own show. On the day of my daughter's wedding, you're trashing me. So, let me go through and kind of just tell you why I don't like this. No, it's fine. Chase Claypool, we've talked a lot about Chase Claypool on this, or actually you've talked a lot about Chase Claypool on this podcast in the past. You're very big on Chase Claypool, and I can see why. He's an intriguing fit, an intriguing athlete, an intriguing receiver who does add something to this receiving core, right? He had size, he had speed. But I just don't know if he separates all that well. That's the thing, and that's kind of what you need to succeed as a receiver in the NFL, is you need to be able to separate. As Stephon Diggs said on Twitter a few weeks ago, Bills legend Stephon Diggs, that you need separate. That's how you succeeded as a receiver, is by creating separation. And Chase Claypool has 4.4 speed, but that's, you can test well, but not that doesn't necessarily translate. Like, I remember, this is a totally off-topic story, but I remember a few years ago when I was interning for the Bills, humble brag, when the Bills had Philip Gaines and Ryan Lewis, and that just shows you how sad this Bills team was 2 years ago when Philip Gaines and Ryan Lewis was they were battling for that second corner job. But Philip Gaines consistently got burned, and Ryan Lewis was keeping up with receivers. And I remember talking to Chris Brown, and he's like, it's got to be Ryan Lewis. He's faster than Philip Gaines. And I looked it up, and Philip Gaines either ran an identical 40 time or like a slightly faster 40 time to Ryan Lewis. So you can train to kind of – I just watched a documentary about this on the NFL draft. You can train to better your combine stats, your combine production, your combine performance. And that's why teams kind of get sucked into it every year, because these players train for the drills that never change. They find out how to get the most out of themselves in these drills that are the same each and every year. So they look better and they shoot up draft boards after the combine. But Chase Claypool, I really don't know if he separates that well on the field. But again, he's an intriguing athlete. I wouldn't hate it in the third round, especially if they don't take a receiver in the second round. If Claypool's the receiver they come out of this draft with, I'd be fine with it, just because that's something you can mold. Even if you want to play him at tight end, even if you don't think he creates separation that well, that's an intriguing mold even for a tight end or a wide receiver. There's something there, I do think. Zach Moss, I very much like Zach Moss. I think he would be a good compliment. I think he's one of the better running backs in this year's draft. I think he's similar to Singletary in a lot of ways, but he's different in other ways, so he would be a good compliment. And then these other guys, I'll be honest, I know nothing about J.R. Reed, but you say he's a developmental safety. I have the Bills taking a developmental safety as well, so I'm fine with J.R. Reed. You say he's similar to Hayden Poyer in how he plays the game, which, I mean, that's a good piece to have if you want to develop a safety, have one who you know who has a play style that succeeds in this defense. Jacob Phillips, you called him dumb, which is kind of really rude of you. But, I mean, he's an intriguing athlete, right? As you said, if he's going to come in and push Voshon Joseph for a roster spot, or come in and push, I don't think he'd push AJ Klein for the starting job. But again, you want athletes at linebacker. They like having athletes at linebacker, so that's a fine move. John Hightower, again, developmental speedster, that's fine. And Rodrigo Blankenship, that's a shout. That's a shout and a half that I very much like. Overall, I'm going to give your draft a B-. I give your draft a B- with Damon Arnett and Rodrigo Blankenship kind of headlining that entire class. So, D'Lo, how do you feel about this draft?
D'Lo is muted.
D'Lo's muted, but he's raised his hand.
Damn it. No, I didn't. Did I really? Yeah. I just don't know how to use a computer, apparently.
I thought you had something, like, pressing to say.
No, I don't. That was my fault. I hit the button.
Wait, you don't know how to use a computer? What's your other job?
I don't know.
He doesn't even know what his other job is. Wow. Oh, no.
America's future is in great hands.
So, D'Lo, how do you feel about this draft class?
I think it was a good draft class. I think there's a wide variety of players who have been selected. I think they all fill some needs. The late-round guys are flyers, obviously, that have potential to do something and push some guys. But ultimately, I think McKenna did all right with it.
Thank you. Appreciate
Nick,
that.
How do you? Sorry to cut you off, McKenna, but I gotta get Nick's take on this. Nick,
yeah,
how do you feel?
I mean, mine's most important. I think that, I mean, I'm on board with Chase Claypool, but I don't think he's going to be there in round three.
You think he's round two? You think he's round two?
Yeah, I think Kyle, you were the one that's saying that these guys will train for the scouting combine and improve their numbers. But the one, as we know, the one workout that'll make people fly up the draft board, I guess pun intended, is the 40. And Chase Claypool, with his size and speed, just blew it away and probably had maybe the best combine of any receiver. So I think now he's going to be in round two, probably. Someone's going to make I don't know, maybe overdraft him or whatever, but I don't think he's going to make it to the third round. But if he is there, I would love him. And I also, a preview of my mock draft, I also have the Bills with Zach Moss in the exact same draft slot. I think they've talked to him a couple times so far, and he's very much a good compliment, I think, to Devin Singletary. I'll get to it when my discussion comes around, but everything they're saying about TJ Yeldon is just laughable at this point, saying that they actually want
him. Yeah.
That's great. You don't believe it? You don't believe the TJ Yeldon hype?
Yeah, I am just like blown away. I can't believe that Brandon Bean then doubled down on Sean McDermott saying that they're going to play TJ Yeldon. I'm like, are you serious? You had him inactive for half the season last year. Now all of a sudden he's your number two back. Am I taking crazy pills or what? But
they're playing 4D chess, Nick. They signed him last year knowing that he would take over this year for Frank at the secondary complimentary running back. They know everything. They are all knowing.
Yeah, okay. And John Hightower was a guy that I wrote up on too before that I think he has some size and speed and could be a good late pick as well. And he would be perfect with his fellow Boise State teammate, Curtis Weaver.
Mm-hmm. But how do you feel about Rodrigo Blankenship?
Cool name.
The silence is deafening.
Cool name. I don't know.
All right, so Nick, yeah, you previewed your mock draft in a lot of times. You were building up hype there. So yeah, tell us your mock draft, your picks round 3 through 7.
All right. You were talking about small school guy that the Bills seem to like. I have in the third round Akeem Davis Geither. I don't know how to say it, but right. Linebacker. Just everything you read on him is just super versatile. The Bills lost Lorenzo Alexander, and even though he kind of 1 week would Lorenzo Alexander, I mean, 1 week he'd play almost every snap seemingly, and then the next week he wouldn't play much at all. He's kind of all over the place in terms of snap counts. I think that the Bills really covet what he did, and the Bills do have AJ Klein, but I just I think again they need somebody long term, and I'm not really sold on him. He signed a 2 or 3 year deal, but things with Klein kind of add up to where they can cut him after a year, so they can get another developmental piece there. Again, I have Zach Moss, TJ Yeldon. I mean, my God, if that guy is the number two running back, I'll be blown away. So I think that Moss is just size, some decent speed, some wiggle. Especially that size, I think will match well with Devin Singletary. And then now, just to kind of rapid fire through the rest of mine, I have Antonio Gibson, Memphis guy who really just doesn't have a position, kind of mostly a gadget guy, wide receiver, could be running back as well. He kind of played all over the place. I think Brian Daboll would love something like that. Antonio Gandy Golden, not Golden Gandy, which I wrote earlier because I was firing off a story for Neil, our boss, my boss. Just a big wide receiver who had a lot of stats in college for Liberty. Josiah DeGuerra, I think is his name, the tight end from Cincy. They also met with him a couple times. Again, they brought in a guy, Greg Olson, which, of course, they like their veteran leaders. They don't have Frank Gore anymore, but it seems like, you know, they would like the guys they have leaving something to be desired, because if you're going after Greg Olson, he's going to play. He's going to make the team, so I could see a tight end for them. And then my final pick that I had some fun with, offensive lineman Darrell Williams from Ole Miss, I think would be an incredible pick. He's versatile, team captain, and also they already signed a guy named Darrell Williams.
Right, who plays offensive line. That's a I like it.
So that's where I'm at with Darrell Williams from Ole Miss.
I like the idea of having two Darrell Williams who play the same position. That'll create a lot of confusion on cut day. Jesus.
I mean, prove me wrong, you know, whatever. I mean, this would be a perfect pick for the Bills. Versatile team captain. The name is already part of the culture.
Right. Daryl Johnson is a proven culture guy. Or Daryl Johnson. Nice. I got Daryl Johnson on the mind, as always. Daryl Williams is a proven culture guy. So that would be proven process guy that, you know, you're timesing too, right? You're just adding another Daryl Williams. You know that's going to work out. I like your draft. I very much like your draft. But my thing is, you took a lot of offensive skill players.
That is the one thing I was going to say. The one thing I would knock myself for is that I took a lot of players on offense, but the Bills seemingly never like to add pieces on offense unless they're trading a first-round pick or something. Mm-hmm. So that's my thing. I don't know. I would be surprised if they took this many players from offense. But their top two players were defense, so that's kind of where, in my mind, I was like, well, okay. The rest of the guys are kind of a roll of the dice after day two of the draft, so...
I might get bold here. I might get bold with my grade for your mock because I like Weaver. I like Davis Gaither or whatever. I think he is. You're right. He has that versatility. He's a very versatile player, a guy who he's athletic. He would be that Lorenzo Alexander replacement, not in terms of like he would offer that more in coverage, right? When they have AJ Klein, who's kind of going to supplant or replace Lorenzo as more the run stopper, the more near the line of scrimmage guy, Davis Gaither would replace him in the coverage aspect of his game, because Lorenzo Alexander is a tough player to replace just given his versatility and everything he did and the locker room stuff. He's a difficult player to replace. Zach Moss, again, as I said about McKenna, Zach Moss, I like Zach Moss, and then when you pair him up with Antonio Gibson, the wide receiver running back, again, if you're assuming that TJ Yeldon doesn't make this roster, which is a safe assumption, that's a complete backfield. That's a fun backfield. You have Singletary, and then you have Moss, who kind of are your 1-2 punch, and then Gibson, who can come in and play either in the slot or even as a running back, as a pass catcher out of the backfield. That's a fun backfield. Gandy Golden adds something. He adds that speed, that athleticism, that size. That's kind of his defining characteristic, right? Is his size. I like Antonio Gandy Golden. I don't know anything about DeGuerra, the tight end, but I've said about this on the podcast in the past. I've said about the tight end position in the podcast in the past. I don't necessarily think they want to add a tight end. I think them bringing Greg Olsen more was more about them bringing in Greg Olsen than it was about bringing in a tight end. I just think they wanted that locker room leadership. And as you said, yeah, Olsen obviously would have played. He would have made the roster. But I don't think them bringing Greg Olsen in signals that they want to add another tight end. I think they just wanted Greg Olsen. But again, DeGuerra, I don't know anything about him. So I'm not going to say that's a good or bad pick because I'd be talking out of my ass. And then Darrell Williams, love the pick. Love the versatility, love the name. I do think that'd be incredible to have two Darrell Williams. And I hope they both win starting jobs. I hope you have Darrell Williams at left and right guard just because that'd be hilarious. So, Nick, I'm going to get bold. I'm giving your mock draft an A.
Wow.
I'm giving it an A.
All right. This has been the Kyle Variety Hour. We'll see you guys later.
Yeah. Nick wins. Goodbye. So, D'Lo, do you have any thoughts on – yeah, we have to get going here. So, do you have any thoughts on Nick's mock draft, and then what are your picks, 3 through 7?
So, I liked it. In particular, I just like Antonio Gibson. I think he's a very – versatile gadget player. He can play wide receiver, he can play running back. He would be a very intriguing piece. Think about Isaiah McKenzie, but I wanted to stay on steroids, but that would be bad. But a much stronger Isaiah McKenzie in the game. So that's kind of the interesting pick that I took from that. So my rounds 3 through 7, third round I have the Bills going wide receiver with Bryan Edwards from South Carolina. He's a good intermediate route runner. He's a big guy at 6'3". He doesn't have blazing speed, but once he gets going, it's almost like a train. He can outrun some cornerbacks in space, but most of his value is going to be in the intermediate game. He's also really good at gaining yards after the catch. You know, looking at some tape, did watch tape, very exciting. You'll see some screens on him, some short passes where he's able just to break through the line, even though he's a bigger guy that you wouldn't think would have these very fluid moves. He's able to dodge secondary defenders very easily. Third round I have us going Reggie Robinson, a cornerback who I think has some really good upside. He's a bigger boundary guy. He has the versatility to play slot as well, but I think he would fit in well to compete with Levi Wallace for a spot. Fifth round I have us going Joshua Kelly from UCLA. He's another downhill runner. He'd be a good complement to Devin Singletary. I know we've looked at Zach Moss in the past, and Moss is probably a better runner, but I think if we're looking at a guy who could fill that role of about 8 to 10 carries and really be the downhill runner, I think Kelly could fit that. Also, Shaquille Quarterman in the next round. I have just a linebacker. He's a good downhill guy. Probably be a good backup for Tremaine Edmonds. He can also slide out wide if you know, in emergency situations. He'll be a good special teamer as well. Also, in the sixth round, I have us going with Rhode Island's Isaiah Coulter. He's a really good player. He's a big guy. There's obviously some refinement because he's coming from a smaller school, but I think he has the ability to be, you know, work in the kick return, punt return game, and also be a depth guy at wide receiver who could be somebody who could ultimately see some meaningful snaps if he's able to push the bottom of the depth chart. And then the last pick I have the Bills going Nate Stanley from Iowa, just a good competition for backup quarterback with Matt Barkley. Done.
Nate Stanley, there's something about that guy. There's something about that pick, right? He just screams Buffalo. There's something about him. I don't know what it is, though.
He's culture. Big culture.
He's a good culture guy, right? He just screams culture, screams process. Julian Okwara, I've already said I like Okwara. Brian Edwards,
He's a tough one because he had some issues with hands this year. Like, there's some good things about him, but there are moments you watch him and you look at drops and you're like, ooh, like, come on, buddy, like... But if he's a number four wide receiver, I think he's definitely a much better version of Duke Williams.
I feel like you kind of double up on the same type of receiver, though, with Brian Edwards and Isaiah Coulter. Granted, I've never watched a film on either of them, but just given given their size, right, given their physical makeup, are they the same type of player or are they different players?
Well, I think Coulter's faster.
Okay.
I think he's more of a speed guy.
Okay, and then at 6'3", that's intriguing.
But, of course, a speed guy against, you know, his competition might be a little different when he's playing real competition in the NFL.
Yeah, true. I'm more open to a cornerback in round 3 than I am to a cornerback in round 2. And as you say with Robinson, I think that's intriguing. You say that you think potentially he could take over as a secondary cornerback, as someone who could start opposite Trey White. So if you can get that in the third round, that's intriguing.
And that's a fourth rounder.
That's a fourth rounder. Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. I'm looking at it as like 1, 2, 3. Third player. I'm just stupid, as we've established on this podcast many a times. Kelly out of, where is he out of? UCLA? Josh
UCLA.
Kelly. That's fine. That's a fine pick. downhill runner, that's fine. That's kind of what they need. Shaquille Quarterman. I like Shaquille Quarterman. I like what he brings to the locker room. I like what he brings to the field. I just don't know if he's a fit in Buffalo. Yeah, like, he'd be a process guy, probably a good culture guy. But I just don't know if that physical makeup, his style of play, that's the second time I've used physical makeup in this rambling, but or third if you count that one. But Shaquille Quarterman, I don't know if his style of play is like similar to that of what they look for in a linebacker. I don't think he's a sideline to sideline guy. They like their rangy athletic linebackers. I don't know if Shaquille Quarterman fits into that mold. They could take him, as you say, as a special team guy and as a leader and a culture guy, but I don't know if maybe you could develop him into someone who could kind of spell Tremaine Edmonds should he ever go down. I just don't know if he has that style of play to do so. And then Isaiah Coulter, Nate Stanley, whatever.
Thanks.
Anyone else have any thoughts on this mock before I give it my grade?
Well, I think Joshua Kelly is a good shout. He had a really good Senior Bowl, I believe. But yeah, he's a very good downhill runner, and just a little different from Zach Moss, which we've already talked about before.
Yeah, I like Kelly too. Brian Edwards is interesting. He's been mocked like all over the place though, from what I've noticed. So I don't know. I think maybe would like him better in round 4 if he's there. Mm. But, I mean, like I said, size kind of has him all over the place. Teams like those big guys, and they get overdrafted sometimes. So, yeah.
Okay. My final grade, and D'Lo, I know you're the grader, right? This is kind of your job. True. Your other job that you couldn't remember earlier. You're a high school teacher.
But, thanks.
I'm going to give it a B.
Okay.
I'm going to give this mock a B. I like Okwara. Maybe I'll give it a B. I was going to raise it to a B+, but I've changed it back to a B, and I apologize for that. But we're gonna stick with a B. Nick is still winning, but not for long, because we are now moving on to what everyone has been waiting for on this podcast. It's why you listen. This isn't the Nick Wotan variety hour. It's simply not. It's the Kyle Selege variety hour. Everyone loves it. Everyone listens to this podcast each and every week. We got, when I started it, I was like, just what the Bills podcasting world needs, more white guys talking about Bills football. So that's what we offer. That's what we bring to the table each and every week. And it's all been leading up to this mock draft, a year's worth of podcasting to this mock draft. So in round 3, I have the Bills going with Darnay Holmes. Okay, Darnay Holmes. It's questionable. He's a cornerback out of UCLA, and I don't think he's gonna. Sorry, I keep getting text messages. I'm a popular guy. I can edit it out though. That's great. So Darnay Holmes, he's a cornerback out of UCLA, and I kind of went on a rant about taking a cornerback in the second round, but in my mock, I have been taking a quarterback in the third round.
Funny how that works.
Sorry, McKenna. I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. I really don't. I only want to fight Nick in front of Jim's. But with Darnay Holmes, he is an intriguing player in that he kind of, given his size, he kind of projects as more of a nickel in the NFL. But I think he did play a little bit of boundary cornerback at UCLA, and I think, look, that was kind of the thing on Trey White coming out, right, is he played on the boundary at LSU, but could he, you know, he could play in, on the outside or in the slot in the NFL. Obviously, they put him on the outside on the boundary, and he turned into one of the best cornerbacks in the league. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with Darnay Holmes, but I think if you are going to add another player to that competition, to that four-man competition, or that three-man competition, sorry, and make it a four-man competition, you bring in someone with the versatility and the athleticism and the talent to develop at either position. You can bring in Darnay Holmes and bring him in to push Wallace, Norman, Gaines. And he can, if you want to develop him there, you can. I think he could be an outside cornerback in the NFL. Or you could have him push Taron Johnson, because Taron Johnson, I like him a lot, but he regressed last year. And injury concerns at this point, he has injury concerns. He's missed games in both of his seasons due to injury. So I don't think Taron Johnson isn't a player who you can improve over. So if you can bring in Darnay Holmes to either push Taron Johnson or push those three guys at secondary cornerback and ultimately take over at one of those positions, and again, you might say you're taking like someone who could potentially, his ceiling could be a nickel cornerback, a starting nickel cornerback in the third round. The Bills play a lot of nickel. The Bills play a ton of nickel, so that'd be a great third-round pick. If you're getting a starting nickel cornerback in the third round, that'd be a great pick, even if that's his ceiling. Great pick. And also, there's a Buffalo connection. His dad, let me read my article, his dad was a running back. Derek Holmes played running back for the Bills in the mid-90s, and he lived in Buffalo for a little bit. So Darnay Holmes has that Buffalo connection, knows the culture, knows the chicken wings. Good Buffalo boy. Moving on, another semi-local guy, even though Syracuse is nowhere near Buffalo in terms of geography. It's like a few hours away, but Alton Robinson I have. He's not even from Syracuse. He kind of went there because he had to, because he didn't have any other choices. But Alton Robinson, he's an intriguing 4-3 defensive end, and I think if they don't take as McKenna, you alluded to earlier, there's value at defensive end. There's valuable pass rushers in the third and fourth rounds. Bradley Anae, Alton Robinson, Daryl Taylor. There are guys in the third and fourth round who you can take and develop, give them rotational roles straight away, and then ultimately they could develop into good players. Alton Robinson might be the top of that list for me if we're looking at Anae. Maybe Anae is a little higher, but between Alton Robinson, Daryl Taylor, Bradley Anae, all those, you know, that crop of pass rushers, I like Robinson a lot. I do think, given his frame, I think he's like a prototypical 4-3 defensive end. I think he could develop into a solid pass rusher should you give him time. I don't want to throw him on the field straight away, but like, he'd be competing with Daryl Johnson for that playing time this year. And again, I hate to say that. I hate to say Daryl Johnson might lose that competition, but he might. I like Alton Robinson ultimately as a guy who could play rotationally this year and then take over long-term potentially. The fifth round, I have the Bills taking Geno Stone, safety out of Iowa. McKenna, you had them taking a developmental safety. I said I had them taking one as well. I have them going with Geno Stone just because I think we had him in our first mock draft, the Bills taking him. He's an Iowa safety. He's an Iowa defensive back. So I think you bring him in. I don't think he's going to push Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer straight away, but Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, they're not old, but they're aging. I think in a few years, you'll start to see the wear and tear kind of catch up with both of them. Jordan Poyer has 2 years left on his deal. Micah Hyde, his contract's expiring soon. I think that he should be re-signed. I think he's kind of taken over as that leader of the defense to an extent. But I don't think safety's out of the realm of possibilities in this draft, and I think Geno Stone would be a good player. I think he'd be a serviceable depth player straight away and could develop into something, especially under the tutelage of Micah Hyde, former Iowa Hawkeye, kind of cut from the same cloth there, Geno Stone and Micah Hyde. So under the tutelage of Hyde, I think Stone could develop into a solid player. Next round, I have Tyler Clark with their first of 2 6th-round picks. Tyler Clark, the Bills are kind of stacked at defensive tackle, but I think if you can bring in Tyler Clark, a player with his intriguing physical profile, I think he could develop into a solid rotational 3-tech, because I don't know if Harrison Phillips is a long-term 3-tech. Quentin Jefferson, I don't know where they're going to play him. I think there is a spot on this team for a developmental 3-tech, so if he develops and you got Ed Oliver and Tyler Clark being your 3-techs for the next however many years, that's intriguing at least. In the 6th round, I had the Bills going a little crazy with their final 2 picks. I had Ray Calais, running back out of Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns. Ray Calais, it's a fun name to say, Ray Calais. He is 5'8", kind of the same size as Singletary, but what he has that Devin Singletary does not have is breakaway speed. Watching Ray Calais, there are just athletes that you come across occasionally where they run and they don't look like they're going particularly fast. They look like they're just kind of going at like a decent pace, right? But no one around them can catch them. Just for some reason, it looks like they're moving in slow motion almost, but just no one can catch them. Ray Calais is that kind of guy. He's just such a fluid athlete, such a fast player. He ran an unofficial 4.440, I think. He has great breakaway speed. He adds speed to that backfield that really doesn't have any speed with Yeldon and Singletary. I mean, they're not slow players, but they could use someone with that breakaway speed, which Ray Calais has. And then in the seventh round, I had him going crazy. I also was one of two people who had them going with a quarterback in the seventh round, but I didn't go with your traditional backup quarterback. I went with Khalil Tate. Khalil Tate is just such an intriguing athlete. That's kind of the thing I've had on every single player that I've talked about here in this mock draft, is they're an intriguing athlete. But with Khalil Tate, you can develop him as a traditional backup quarterback, or you could have him kind of use him in a Taysom Hill role, kind of just given his athleticism. You can have him take direct snaps and run. You can have him line up in the slot. You can kind of have him do whatever you want. He's a good enough athlete to do whatever you want. So I think Khalil Tate in the seventh round, even if you're just getting a Swiss Army knife, that's a swing you take in the seventh round. So someone tell me why my mock draft is the best, please.
Nope.
Not going to happen.
Guys, why? What's wrong? Discuss. McKenna, you tell me. You tell me what's up with the mock.
I think Laviska Shenault is a good, if he's there, great pick. Don't think he's going to be there.
Okay, that's fair.
Your third round choice, the cornerback, horrendous.
What? Why?
Horrendous. I just don't like, just looking him up, doing like my little bit of research while you were talking, doesn't seem all that inspired. Like, if you're going to go corner, why, you know, if you're going to go corner, you should take a better corner than him. I think the most interesting outside of Laviska Shenault is the two most interesting. Ray Calais, you describing, I think he is a good compliment to Devin Singletary. And then Khalil Tate, your final pick. I thought that was very interesting. I was going to mock him as well, but I knew that you were going to mock him, so I dropped him.
I appreciate that.
So, but I think Khalil Tate could do exactly what you're talking about. And in case anything happens to Josh Allen, you know, he has to go down for a series or two. You have a similar type of quarterback who can run around. He can make, you know, really nice throws. He has a pretty decent arm. But I don't know, overall, uninspired.
Uninspired mock draft? Fam, I had Khalil Tate, Geno Stone, Darnay Holmes. Your Darnay Holmes take is horrendous.
No, you don't draft Darnay Holmes.
Go with a better cornerback. Do you know who Darnay Holmes is, sir? He is the son of former Bills legend Derek Holmes. That is such disrespect from you. It's disgusting. No, Darnay Holmes, he offers that positional versatility, right? I mean, Arnett, I don't know if Arnett can play nickel, but, like, you say, yeah, he would take over immediately, but, like, I don't know if he would take over immediately.
He would, because he's better than Levi Wallace.
I don't know.
Because Levi Wallace is me, like, he is, I was going to say mediocre, but that's not true. He's average. Like,
he's a bit underrated.
I don't think he's underrated. I think he's perfectly rated. I think he's fine. And
he gets exposed at times.
And he didn't really progress that much from his first season to this season.
Well, teams really don't throw at Trey White anymore. Levi Wallace is kind of the player that they target. And for the most part, that pass defense, that secondary play as well.
But then you already have a guy like Damon Arnett who is used to that, because no one threw to Jeff Okuda. So he had to be a lockdown corner.
So you're replacing him with Levi Wallace? You want to replace Levi Wallace with Levi Wallace?
No. you understand what I'm saying? You know, like...
I feel, yeah. I'm being a dick.
Yeah. No, I was like, I was so confused. I was like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, no. But I think Damon Arnett is just, I think... Okay, if you're going to draft a corner, you should draft Damon Arnett. You'll complete lockdown across the board if you draft him over Darnay Holmes.
D'Lo, what's your grade for my mock?
You know, I don't know. I'm not completely sold on Stone. Clark is interesting. Calais is interesting. I just feel like there's a lot of swings here.
Yeah, they can take swings. Guys, this is the character assassination of
We're going like the Athletic versus PSE right now. This is the sort of stuff.
And for the the first time in the history of the Kyle Selege Variety Hour, he said something bad about Taron Johnson.
I know, right? I'm typically quite high on Taron Johnson, but this is...
I mean, they fill needs, right? I mean, you seem to fill needs. It's just, I don't know if they're going to bring in a defensive tackle. I don't know if Ray Calais is fits in with being that complement to Singletary.
I think all of your claims are erroneous. I'm trying.
What does the editor think? What does Nick think?
Yeah, Nick, tell me what's up here.
Terrible, but now I Robinson's an interesting pick for sure. I think he's probably the most intriguing guy on your mock.
Agreed.
Yeah,
placed all over mock drafts. But he could develop. And to D'Lo's point, a lot of rolls of the dice here, pretty much going up and down. And other than Chenault, I think that he'd be very good.
Wow. This is just, I'm speechless. This is the first time in the history of this podcast that I've been speechless. All of my guests have just decided, they've made the group decision just to shit on me. And I don't appreciate it. That's not my kink. I don't appreciate this whatsoever. But you know, whatever. I guess you guys, to an extent, are right.
I think yours. I think I said uninspired, but yours is very original. I think you. No one can fault you for that. You got some deep cuts in there, which is nice. And I think if all of yours do pan out, the Bills will be really successful. But you have a lot of swings in there, which you know can result in a lot of misses.
I think I disagree with that. I really don't see many swings. I mean, LaVisca Chenault would be a home run. Darnay Holmes, I guess, to an extent, would be a swing because you don't know if he's a nickel or a boundary guy. But I just think, given his talent and positional versatility, I think at worst you have a versatile depth guy. Do you want that in the third round? I don't know, but there's worse picks you could certainly make. Alton Robinson, I think he's kind of a lock. I think he'd be a good rotational defensive end, which they rotate defensive ends. Geno Stone's a good culture, depth, safety. Tyler Clark, sure, whatever. Ray Calais has breakaway speed, and Khalil Tate's a big swing. So maybe I do have a lot of swings. Maybe I just don't know what I'm talking about. So I think that wraps it up. Someone just give it a grade. It doesn't appear like it's going to be an A+, which I thought it was a lot going into this. D'Lo, you're the high school teacher. Give it a grade.
Let's just give it a B. Let's say it's a solid effort.
Wow. This is...
He's being nice. I was going to get like a C.
Oh.
McKenna, let's look at your mock one more time.
I think my mock is good.
I don't think any of us selected an offensive lineman.
No, Nick had Daryl Williams, which is a
great
Daryl
Williams,
pick.
That's right, but that was like a, yeah.
Kind of
perfect
a joke.
Perfect pick?
That is the only perfect.
We got McKenna out here claiming his mock is better than mine, and McKenna took Rodrigo Blankenship.
Yeah, okay, he has a better shot of making the roster than Khalil Tate.
That's... Your claims are erroneous, and you know they are.
I know, I'm just messing with you now, but I think... Cause
you have Jacob Phillips, who you described as dumb. You have a player that's... named Junior. This is...
It's going on. It's the 15th episode. Everything falls apart.
This is the end, the final episode of the Kyle Selege Variety Hour. I'm glad everyone listened to it. We had a good run. We had a real good 50 episode run, but I've decided that it's canceled. So thank you guys for joining me for this final episode of the Kyle Selege Variety Hour. You can follow Bills Wire on Twitter at the Bills Wire, on Facebook at Bills Wire, on Instagram at the Bills Wire. You can follow D'Lo on Twitter at
Jay DeLauro.
You can follow McKenna on Twitter at
McKenna Middle.
I might edit that out. Even. I might edit that out. D'Lo, or you can follow Nick on Twitter at.
I guess don't even follow me.
Okay, sounds good. You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Selege. Yeah, I would say listen or talk to you next week, but no, canceled. Sorry. Bye.
Buffalo. 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 Buffalo.